Welcome back to A Christian's Guide to the Quran, Lesson 31. This is about personal morality and Muhammad's child bride. There's a web blog and a PDF available on this website if you prefer something written. Today we cover surahs, or chapters, 21 through 24. Chapter 21 is known as the Prophets because of its mention of many of those in the book chapter. The references to Bible and non-Bible men are a bit confused in this chapter, very difficult for the ordinary man to figure out. So I'm moving on from there. I do note in this chapter a whole lot of repetition, as I've been telling you before. There's just so much repetition in the Quran, such as the familiar railing against the deity of Jesus, the misinformation about the solar system, the judgments on infidels, and the scales of justice. Now, in regards to the latter, Allah promises that He is so very just that every detail, even if it were the weight of a tiny seed, will be placed on those scales. Man will get exactly what he deserves, heaven or hell, based on how the scales even out. Unknown to Muslim thinking is the concept that a man who breaks even the least of God's laws is guilty of all, and that a man who claims and clings to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, purchased with his own blood on Calvary, is innocent of all, forgiven of all. Islam, and all organized religions with it, seeks to create a system whereby one can earn what God has freely given. Well, chapter 22 is called The Pilgrimage. It takes us ahead once more to Medina. A biology lesson starts things out, letting us know that God created us all from dirt, and then that semen breast milk fluid we talked about in another time. Then there became a clot, and then there was some flesh, and so on, and let's just move on from there. The Muslim belief in the resurrection of the body is in verse 7. A little bit of hope there, and then all of a sudden that discussion rapidly disintegrates into talking about the torment of the fire for those who disagree with Allah. Verses 26 and following are the customs surrounding the supposed discovery of Mecca by Abraham. Bekdok suggests that these customs about a pilgrimage to Mecca were already in use by the pagans, who had their own history of what Mecca was all about. The text moves from there to dietary laws. You may know that in Leviticus 11:4 in your Bible, the camel is specifically forbidden for consumption by the people of God because of its unclean status. Evidently, this is one of the many thousands of verses that were corrupted according to Quranic viewpoint, because in the Quran, camels are commanded to be offered for sacrifices and then eaten. Before this series of verses is finished, we're back on the subject of warfare. Remember, this is coming from Medina. Permission, quote, is given to those who wage war because they were wronged. And surely Allah is capable to give them victory. End of quote. He even boasts about the number of villages that he's destroyed until now. Now we understand that cursed nations were destroyed by God. We know that bloody vengeance is coming later. We're not going to try to soft soap that. We believe that. But right now, God's people are on a special mission. We're to preach, and they were told to baptize, to teach, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. This program of announcing the kingdom of God began hundreds of years before Muhammad appeared and will continue until Jesus returns. We know that God is not bringing us back to the days of Moses and Joshua and physical conquest of the world. Not now. Muhammad's totally out of line. The Quran is totally out of line with God's present purposes in Jesus Christ. Again, quoting translator Usama Dektor, to whom, by the way, I owe a great debt already, and I plan to go in a little deeper before it's over. Even in this lesson, you'll hear his name again. This man did his homework, and we truly, truly appreciate what he has given to the body of Christ. But chapter 53 of the Quran, he tells us, contained at one time what were known as the satanic verses. The satanic verses. They were taken out later. They were acknowledged to be false verses, and they were replaced with other verses. Well, here in Surah 22, Muhammad wants it to be made known that God had a good reason for allowing Satan to mess with the text there for a while. You see, it helped to harden the hearts of those who were already opposed to Allah. And then, of course, the familiar judgments follow this explanation. And once more is repeated the encouragement to the warring Muslims that God is going to provide wonderful things for martyrs of the faith. Well, Allah and the Bible agree in verse 66, where it says, "Surely the human is infidel." There, he includes everybody. I'm so happy he said that. Yes, God has included all under sin, including all Muslims, including Muhammad, including everyone. But the remedy for this awful state of affairs is not given in the Quran. That's sad. The last statement of this surah is a reminder that Abraham has named all of God's people Muslims. Did you know that? We're in Surah 23 now. It's called The Believers. Moves us back to Mecca. Believers are given first here some specifics about their sexual purity. Private parts of the body are only for spouses, or slaves, or concubines. If you're single, it's just for slaves or concubines. Let's move on. Bible story here. Back to Brother Noah. Noah is told in verse 27 of the Quran here, chapter 22, that Allah will give a command. At a certain point, he's going to give a command. The storms are going to come, and they're going to boil up like froth on milk. And at that point, Noah is to enter the ark with all the animals. True or false, biblically speaking? Well, the biblical account has Noah gathering the animals well in advance of the flood. 7 days then pass after all are settled in, and then comes the rain. That's how it happened. Jesus, well, here we're finally given a reason why God has no son. And that son is not God. Of course, he doesn't have one. Why there can't be multiple gods also. The fact is, according to Muhammad, more than one God would mean strife between them and chaos in the heavenlies. Well, Muhammad thinks as a man, rightly so, and we understand. Men fight. Two or three men can't properly rule anything together. It won't work. And three gods, that'd be an awful thing too. We Christians believe in one God, manifested in three persons who are in perfect harmony. The Father and the Son and the Spirit think as one because they are one. Jesus never did anything that he didn't see the Father doing. The Spirit speaks only what he hears from heaven. There's no strife. There's no chaos. You see, Muhammad's concept of God was, well, it was just too small. And do I need to say it? The surah ends with more threats of torment. Quote, "The fire will scorch their faces and they will shrivel in it." End of quote. Surah 24. It's called the light, but I got to say it's not. It's not. We're back in Medina, or ahead in Medina, really. And the surah begins, as the last one did, really, with sexual issues. First, 100 stripes for those caught in fornication, beaten with 100 stripes. No mention is made of forgiveness for repentance. Once more, I refer to Usama Dektor. Thank you, my brother. He says that this practice has now switched to stoning. Because originally the verse that says stoning was part of the recitation of Muhammad. It was actually stoning in the original. But that verse was, well, it was eaten by a goat. Yeah, it was eaten by a goat. Now we've just got to take the word of the Muslim scholar that's the case. The guilty party in this situation, after his stripes, he has more problems. He's not to have intimate relations with anyone except it was one who was guilty like himself. Or maybe with a polytheist, which includes Christians, of course. In a related situation, if anyone dares to accuse a chaste woman of something and cannot bring four witnesses, that person's to be given 80 stripes. And he's never to be believed again. Repentance is allowed on this one, though. Further, if a man accuses his own wife of some sin and there are no witnesses at all, then husband or wife need only to swear by Allah 4 times and they'll be believed. All of this seems kind of odd, what he's talking about here, until we read on about the slander of Muhammad's favorite wife, Aisha. 3 witnesses had accused her of adultery. That was the required number until then, again, according to Mr. Dakhtar. It seems that this new law that we just read about the 4 witnesses was created specifically for this situation. Now there had to be 4 witnesses. Aisha is spared here. By the way, Aisha, when they first got married, was 6 years old. Muhammad was 52. I know it's a bit young, but he waited until she was 9 before there was any intimacy in their marriage. Oh, wow. Well, anyway, horrific judgments, as you might imagine, are then leveled on all those who partook in this slander. Can you imagine? Next comes a call to modesty and complete covering of the woman. However, she is allowed to be seen in more casual attire to a whole host of family members, slaves, young children, effeminate males. But there's debate about just how casual is casual here, since these males, the effeminate ones, and, quote, children who have not looked upon a woman's private parts, end of quote, are some of the exceptions to the covering rule. Just what is Muhammad saying here? Then those who cannot afford to marry are to keep themselves chaste. However, if you own a slave, he or she is to be chaste only if so desired. Otherwise, they may be used in prostitution. If they were compelled to go to prostitution against their will, they should remember that Allah is forgiving. There follows a lengthy praise of Allah, several paragraphs, a big page of this. It starts out that he's, quote, the light of the heavens and the earth. It goes on to praise him for all of his good judgments and everything. Yeah, after all the darkness of these precepts, he proclaims himself to be the light, so that no one will question anything that has just been said. Then Muhammad talks of how all animals were created from the water, even though Genesis mentions a whole class of animals that came from the earth, and a curious section regarding the rules of privacy. 3 times a day, a man's privacy is to be strictly observed, basically morning, noon, and evening. During these 3 times, not all morning, we're talking about a period of time in the morning and right after prayer and so on. During these times, it's quite possible that they might be clothed rather skimpily, or not at all. During those times, slaves and children must ask permission to come into the tent. At any other time, they don't have to, quote, knock. They will not have sinned if you happen to be unprepared for their visit. Well, that's about the end of chapter 24. We have 90 chapters to go, but soon, I told you before, those chapters are going to be just like a page long, or even three or four chapters to one page. They're going to go so quickly. So actually, we only have a few more lessons. Stay with it. God bless you for hanging on this far. Remember that all quotations from the Quran are taken from the Generous Quran, copyright 2009, used by permission of Usama Duck Duck Publishing, LLC. God bless you. Bye-bye.